this generation has told all the previous generations to shut up, to keep silent.
Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Instead of the church's classical way of operating, supplementation, we've replaced the heritage of proclamation and song that reaches back to the earliest centuries with only the song of now.
You can listen to Pastor Whedon's presentation, Making the Case for Classical Christian Hymnody, and all of the teachings from the 2014 Making the Case Conference on a new audio DVD for a $300 donation to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. We'll send you this audio DVD. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Buddhism is a weird, strange animal. It certainly is. It comes in so many forms. It has its westernized form that kind of fits in beautifully with the spirituality of a postmodern era. It also has its ancient form. Who is Buddha? Is he worshipped as a god? Is Buddhism? That's the question that I always come back to. Is Buddhism even a religion? Joining us to talk about Buddhism on this Tuesday afternoon, Dr. Paul Philp. He's director of the Institutional Research and Integrity for the Concordia University System for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Being a Buddhist. Dr. Philp, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Paul, this is something I always run up against when we talk about Buddhism. Is it a religion, yes or no?
No, from the perspective of the Buddhist, but yes, from the perspective of just about every other conventional description of a religion that's out there.
Okay, so let's start with the Buddhist's perspective. Why does the Buddhist not consider Buddhism to be a religion, per se?
They consider it to be a philosophy that leads to a type of way of finding release from the challenges of this life, but they would consider themselves to be compatible with whatever religion any individual person might happen to be following, as they also attempt to engage in following Buddhism. So they see themselves as a philosophy that could be compatible and laid alongside of a religion, as opposed to a religion themselves, and they don't recognize Buddha as a god to be followed.
Okay, so this explains something then. So, I mean, often we hear about people talking about being, say, a Zen Christian, Zen being a kind of a shorthand for one type of Buddhism. I think there's a famous basketball coach that even considers himself a Zen Christian. So from his perspective, this is just a philosophy that kind of he can intermingle with or is completely compatible with whatever he considers Christianity to be.
Right. From the perspective of the Buddhist, that's the argument that they would make.
All right. Then from the perspective of, as you said, just about everyone else who takes the concept of religion seriously, why would we, especially we as Christians, have to regard Buddhism as a religion itself?
Well, we'd have to regard it as a religion itself for a couple of reasons. Certainly one being that, their own claim is not that Buddha is a god. Nevertheless, there is a sense in which the teachings of the Buddha are followed in a godlike way. He receives offerings and adoration from Buddhists in various forms as they seek to gain their movement towards enlightenment or towards nirvana, their escape from the challenges of life. And they may believe that they can hold this sort of a philosophy alongside of a religion, particularly in terms of holding it alongside of Christianity. There's no room within what they are doing as Buddhists for Christ, let alone a understanding of Christ as the way alone to salvation. There isn't really a concept of sin or the law and the condemnation that the sinner has under the law as a result of our own sinful condition. And there's certainly no recognition of a need for a Savior or for salvation. Everything is inwardly focused on the things that the Buddhist does to move themselves along the process of seeking their escape from the challenges of life. So basically, it completely ignores Christ and functions in very much a way that sets itself up to be a false religion, regardless of what they'd like to call it.
What is, if we could use the term salvation, let's just kind of use it for the sake of argument. What is the end goal, the salvation for the Buddhist?
The end goal for the Buddhist is what would be the cessation of all of the suffering and anxiety and challenges that they face in their life, ultimately what they would term as nirvana, escape from all of those challenges and release from any suffering.
And how is that achieved if you're a thoroughgoing Buddhist? How do you get there?
If you follow their practices, they will find what they call a middle way that avoids asceticism on the one extreme and affluence on the other. And in the process of working through that middle way, they follow an eightfold path that involves a right understanding or a right view of things. In other words, understanding that there is an origin to suffering and that it can come to a cessation and there is a way to escape it. And then aligning one's speech and actions and livelihood and intentions with that. And ultimately, their efforts towards achieving that, setting their a mind straight and concentrating on that, will lead them through a path that ultimately will lead to that cessation of struggle. That might be a path that takes several times over to accomplish. If one moves partway down that path and hasn't just gotten to the point of the cessation of struggle and to nirvana at the time of death, they would believe that then there's an opportunity for reincarnation and a chance to move through that path again until finally getting oneself to the point that they would eventually achieve that nirvana.
This is where it gets a little complicated, if it's complicated already, and that is we've been speaking about Buddhism as kind of one thing, but it is in fact fairly diverse. There are different forms of it. How would you summarize that for us, Paul?
The forms vary in kind of two main branches, one of them which has a much more individualized focus, primarily on the person themselves. That's the Theravada path. And then the other, the Mahayana, has more of a focus upon the individual in relationship to others. Each of them, though, then progresses somewhat in a similar way through a series of steps with that same end goal in the mind. It simply depends upon how much of that focus is internal and how much of it involves other individuals. But as you say, it becomes very complex then, because within each of those two kind of clear paths, there end up being a whole host of different approaches that are taken. And that's probably one of the ones, the Zen approach. And that's probably one of the ones that's the best known.
The Buddhist is convinced that he has this path before him that he can walk. Essentially, are we saying here, essentially without divine help, support, we would say in Christian terms, grace? Is this essentially each man on his own path responsible for his own ultimate destiny?
Generally, that is correct, yes. They have a very intense focus on their own doing and their own achievement of the escape from the suffering, and it is all viewed as something that the individual accomplishes through their own doing. They may accomplish it within the context of something broader. They may even bring in some other religious belief system that they think is in some way assisting them in accomplishing it, but ultimately it's through their own path through the steps of Buddhism that they would believe they accomplished that. If something along the line assists them in some way, it's because they sought it out, not because something came in from the outside to assist them. There's certainly no concept of grace or a free gift of forgiveness or anything of that nature.
So you said earlier that the Buddhist thinks that he can incorporate his philosophy into any other religion, including Christianity. But from Christianity's perspective, obviously, it is a rejection of Jesus Christ and him being the way, the truth, and the life, the only way of salvation. How do you bridge that gap and talk to a Buddhist about the real Jesus?
I think that the door for opening that conversation really, in a certain sense, exists within the concept of what the goal of the Buddhists is, namely escape from suffering. They've placed themselves on a path that is a very difficult path, in fact, one from our own Christian perspective that we would believe would never lead them anywhere towards what they would like to accomplish. And it's a path that really ultimately becomes very burdensome for them. And we have the ability, as Christians, to zero in on that goal of escaping from suffering with a word of grace, a word of gospel, a word from Christ that assures us that there is indeed escape from not just suffering, but from eternal damnation, that there is something far greater than what they may see as an end goal from the Buddhist perspective, namely the new creation in Christ Jesus and eternal life. And we have, I think, an opening to present that message to say, you know, that which you seek, we have. Sort of, you know, kind of Paul on the Areopagus talking about the altar to the unknown God. It's sort of a similar kind of starting point. We can begin with that which you seek, we already have in Christ, and what's better, you too can have this same gift in Christ, and from there begin to unfold the message of salvation through Christ and through Him alone.
Pastor Paul Philp is Director of Institutional Research and Integrity for the Concordia University System for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Being a Buddhist. Paul, thanks for being our guest.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with the solas of the Reformation, those alones of the Reformation that not only are a good summary of the Reformation, but also a good way to study the Bible. Stay tuned.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Sophisticated Lutheran Apologetics. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.